My Lord, what is this world coming to? What people need today is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yeah, well, can people handle the truth, though?
I believe they can. In the situation room.
Welcome to the Situation Room, a program that applies God's words to our present situation. We take the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth of God's word, and apply it to our daily lives. Because at the end of the day, what really matters is not what I say or what somebody else say, but what does the word of God say? And I ask that you take everything that you hear me say or somebody else say on this program, and you check it out with the word of God. Because if anyone try to put something on your spiritual plate that don't line up with the scriptures, well, just put that in your spiritual garbage disposal. Because all you want on your spiritual plate is the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. So help you God. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome this morning to the Situation Room. It is indeed a plumb pleasure to have you this morning in the Situation Room. After all, this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. We're excited and delighted to have you this morning in the Situation Room. We hope and pray that things are going well for you and your family in your neck of the woods. We have a wonderful program for you today. Today is the day that we focus in on our edification. We try to edify you, try to encourage you, try to strengthen you on your Christian journey. Today we have a sermon that was preached by Joel Gregory. You have heard Joel Gregory before, because we have had him on the program. And back in the day, back in the 80s, when I first started preaching, I used to listen to this preacher. He was the pastor then at Travis Avenue Baptist Church, one of the largest churches over there in Fort Worth, Texas. And but today, he's more of a mentor. He goes around to churches, particularly black churches. Now, this is a white preacher. He was way at the top, and he had a fall, but some of the black pastors came to his rescue, and from that day on, he's been looked like indebted to black churches, and he goes around, and if you call him, he'll come, and he's talking about concrete faith. So get close to your radio and listen as Joel Gregory preaches today about concrete faith. And he's at one of my mentors' church, Bible Way Fellowship Baptist Church, there in Houston, Texas, where Ivory Bonner is the pastor. Get close to your radio and listen.
All those years he was famous for ending.
Let me back it up. And the recording is not that good, but I believe you still can get the message, though. So get close to your radio and listen.
There was a retiring seminary professor. He had taught for 40 years at a school training preachers. All of those years, he was famous for ending everything he discussed, every time he preached, with a single emphasis, and that was Christian love. If it was a sermon, he ended every sermon with an emphasis on love. If it was a baccalaureate address, he ended it talking about love. At every memorial service and every wedding, he underscored love. If he spoke for the Rotary or the Kiwanis, it was love. He had done that so long that he earned the nickname Dr. Love.
All right.
When he retired, his first post-retirement project was to do something with his own hands. Having been an academic and living in the ivory tower, he never had the opportunity opportunity to really make anything or do anything. So he dug up the crumbling driveway in his old home and with his own hands put down the reinforcement, mixed up the concrete, and poured his own driveway. He was so proud of doing that as an academic when just then, as the concrete was setting up, a group of neighborhood kids chasing a dog. Left footprints and dog prints in his new concrete driveway. He lost it. He went to the garage and got out a garden hoe and started chasing the kids down the street with the hoe saying, "I'm going to get you!" His wife was mortified. She stood on the porch and said, "How could you do that? You're Dr. Love." And he said, "Lady, that was love in the abstract. This is love in the concrete."
Yes, sir.
I like that, sir.
Yes, sir.
So it is one thing to have faith in the abstract.
Come on here, doctor.
It's another thing to have faith in the concrete.
Yeah.
Hebrews 11 begins with a great theoretical definition of faith. We all know it by heart. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And that theoretical, theological abstraction is interesting as far as it goes. But I need to see how faith acts in the concrete. And that is why we have the example of this meandering Mesopotamian named Abraham, who 4,000 years ago became the first person about whom the Word of God says he had faith. And in him we see it warts and all. A perfect man? No. But a man of faith?
Yes.
Indeed. Paul in Romans chapter 4 calls him, this is in Holy Scripture, the father of all of those who have faith. The great patriarch, indeed, three great world religions today, Judaism, Islam, and Christianity, all trace themselves back to this man who lived in what is now Iraq, but walked out going with God without knowing where. Three things about that today that will help you with the present power of those past events. Sometimes we get together and hold church and have a memorial service for these people in the Bible.
Come on.
We want to have a memorial service for Abraham.
Yes, sir.
He doesn't need another eulogy.
Yes, sir.
What I do want to give you is some living realities from one who is living in the presence of God right now.
All right.
Called for Abraham. I think it will help you. Concrete faith enables you to go with God without knowing next where.
All right.
If you read verse 8 and notice the strong, robust verbs, it says Abraham obeyed, called to go out. He went not knowing where he was going. The very mark of the faith that pleases God is a faith that is willing to go with him even though you do not know next where. You read these verbs, call, when, not knowing. It seems to be by the very tense of the language that as the voice of God was ringing in the ears of this 75-year-old Iraqi, that's what he was, someone from that part of the world. As it was ringing in his ear, he was already going with God. Judaeus tells us, a contemporary with Jesus, a Jew who wrote a biography of Abraham, that Abraham left his home to go to a foreign place so quickly, you would think that God had asked him to leave his foreign place and go back home.
All right.
The reason we talk about it is a model of faith that when God said get up and go, he got up and went.
Yeah.
Walking into the desert without knowing next where he would go. And we remember it because he did not give to God excuses of such When you read his story in Genesis, he was 75. He could have claimed to God, "I'm too old for this. I'm 75.
Yeah.
At a time when we want to pack it up he had to pack up and go.
Yeah.
At a time when we want to sit down, he had to leave.
Yeah.
At a time when we hope to get Social Security, he faced another 100 years of social insecurity.
Yes, sir.
As he got up and went with God. I'm too old for this. Let me give you a clue. You never retire from discipleship.
Come on, man.
Nor did he say to God, there's just no precedent for this sort of thing.
Well,
see, a lot of us serve God by precedent. If someone else ever did it, we do it.
All right.
Remember this. Abraham didn't have a single written word of scripture.
All right.
That's right.
It would be at least 600 years before Moses opened the Pentateuch. He couldn't read the story of an Abraham. You ever wonder how God spoke to him? He didn't have a Bible. He didn't have a Hebrews 11. He didn't have a book of Genesis. All he had was the blue sky above and the sand beneath his feet. Did God speak to him in a dream by night? As he would speak to his famous grandson and great-grandson, Jacob and Joseph? Did he tell him, get up and go? Did God speak to him in a vision by day? When that 75-year-old Mesopotamian man was looking up in the sky, did he see something and said, go? Or did God speak to him in an audible voice? Some years ago, a famous former president of the Southern Baptist Convention, the late Reverend Dr. Adrian Rogers, didn't run for a second term as the president of the convention, and a cynical reporter asked him, why didn't you take the usual second term? Why did you refuse to run? And Dr. Rogers said, and the reporter asked him, said, did God speak to you in an audible voice? And Dr. Rogers said, no, he spoke a whole lot louder than that. Sometimes God can speak.
Yes, sir.
And we simply give up and go. And you can trust that. My sons and I used to go on camping trips when they were little, and it was kind of a joke in the Gregory home because the only time we ever used a compass was on a camping trip. But in between those annual trips, we would lose the compass. We didn't know if it was in a drawer, in a cabinet, up in the closet, with the Coleman stove, with the lantern. We always found the compass somewhere different. But you know what? Wherever we found it, every time we found it, it was always pointing north.
All right.
My Lord.
And when you trust God,
all right. All right.
Where you next go, you can rely on that trust. Abraham walked out into the desert at 75 years of age, not knowing where he was going. During World War II, maybe some older among you either served or had parents who served. In the United States Navy, there was an unusual secretive custom of sailing under sealed orders. Commander there on the bridge of a ship would receive an envelope. And on that envelope were only degrees, hours, and minutes of latitude and longitude, those lines that cross invisibly in the sea. And there was something incredibly mysterious about a ship laden with 4,000 men slipping off the great mooring houses out of the harbor into the icy waters of the Atlantic, going it did not know where. For secrecy, even Commander didn't know the ship would go to that point where those lines intersected. He would open that envelope, and it might be another envelope with more degrees, hours, and minutes of latitude, zigging and zagging, going, not knowing where, until finally he was told where to go. Do you understand that in many ways the life of faith is like that?
Yes, sir.
When I was an 8-year-old little boy, I got up in a service just like this, walked down a carpet like this, gave my hand to the pastor just like this, and said, I trust Jesus. And then I said, the envelope, please. And it said, go, put me on in biblical believers baptism. And I came up drenching wet, and when I came out of that water, as if I looked up to heaven and said, the envelope, please.
Yeah.
I was 16 years old, sitting in a teenage vacation Bible school service. I was called to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and as if I said, the envelope, please.
I hear you, I've got a walk.
And I have spent the rest of my life as if saying, say, well, who lived in Ur? Anybody want to leave Ur? That's the name of the city that he left, Ur. It sounds as if you asked him, where do you live? And he couldn't remember. But Ur was nowhere you would leave. Ur was, if you would permit me to say this, a Houston of its day. It had a great city center. It had high-rise buildings. They dug them up from 1922 to 1934. University of Oxford and others dug it up. They found three-story houses of the kind that a wealthy man such as Abraham would live in. Remember, he had a household staff of 318. The book of Genesis says it wasn't anywhere you would leave.
Yeah.
And yet he walked out into the desert with God going without knowing where. And he just kept on going. If you want to live a life of faith, it's not just a life of a good beginning, it's a life of a good ending. Sometimes level with the ground. They laughed. They laughed at Cliff Young. They laughed at him. He's 61 years old. He showed up the morning of the Sydney to Melbourne Ultra Marathon. An Ultra Marathon is a 540-mile race there. Over 5 days, all these trim, slim, young athletes in athletic wear were all there getting their numbers to enter the race. And here showed up this 61-year-old man. They thought, well, this guy's come out to cheer us on. And then they laughed at themselves when he took a number because he had on overalls and work boots. Crazy. They took off. Of course, they left Cliff Young way behind. They didn't even see. He lumbered along in his work boots and overall. Next day when they went, he caught up with them a little bit, still way behind. Next day he started even with them. Next day they didn't see him. They thought he dropped out. What had really happened, he was far ahead of them. And on the fifth day, 5 days and 15 hours, 61-year-old sheep farmer Cliff Young won the Sydney to Melbourne Ultra Marathon. There was one thing he didn't know about the race, that you were supposed to sleep at night. Full of people who have fallen down. morning devotional. When?
Yes.
God had given him a promise, a land and a son. After 1 year of kicking over to desert sand, I'm sure he said, when? Lord, I made it.
All right.
When? Lord, I'm 85. When?
All right.
Lord, I'm 90. When?
Yeah.
I'm 95.
Yes.
Wow. 96. 97.
Wow.
98.
Wow.
99.
Yeah.
And finally God said, now.
Do that.
Oh, because you lift your eyes to the Father. feet. Look at verse 10. He waited for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now look at the contrast. Living in a tent, waiting for a city that had foundations.
Yeah.
What Abraham did, he leaped over every book of the Bible. He went down the whole of Route 66 from Genesis to Revelation, because at the very book, that's at the very beginning of the book, at the very ending of the book, he's standing there with John, the beloved disciple, who is waiting for the new Jerusalem to come down, a city that had 12 foundations.
Yeah.
Listen, you want to get the right perspective on life? You want to check out from the neck up spiritually? Understand this. You're living in a tent, waiting for a city that has foundation.
Yeah.
I'm in my 50th year of preaching. Everything and every God that you put your confidence in other God, other than God, can either disappear or let you down.
Genesis 12
on. He tried to help God out. He said, well, I know what God meant. means my descendant is going to be my balance. My Eleazar, who helps us around it, God said, no, it will be a son of your Lord. And then Sarah said, let's help go. Here's my young maid, Hagar. All right. Abraham, take her, regardless of what she thinks about her. Take her and have a son with her. I mean that whole thing was like an episode of Desperate Housewives.
Yeah.
something that's not working. Maybe a relationship, a job, an enemy, somebody who slanders you, libels you, presents you in false light. A habit you can't break, an addiction you can't snap. I don't know what it is, but let me tell you what, faith.
That was Joel Gregory, and he was preaching about concrete faith. That's it for today. Thank you for joining us. Listen to us all day long, because we're in your corner right here in the Situation Room.